Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
The fog would appear to be worsening downtown. I don't know where you are, but be careful. Remember, no bright lights. You don't want your flashers on unless you're stopped. And just drive smart. Don't be stupid. If you can't see, don't drive faster than you can stop, right? I mean, that makes common sense. It is currently 7:15, and we're joined by Jackson Kirby, Vice President of Construction for Audubon, to talk about some plans for riverfront projects to make sure they do it right. How you doing, Jackson?
I'm doing great, Tommy. Thanks for having me this morning.
Thanks for taking the time with us. Tell me about some of the projects that the Audubon Institute has already done along the riverfront, and then we'll get to what you guys were thinking about doing and where that stands.
Yeah, sure. So, you know, Audubon Nature Institute's been involved in the downtown riverfront for many years, really since the construction of the Audubon Aquarium. Then we went through and we built Woldenburg Park. We were involved in the RTA terminal transformation. We've really sort of committed to this continuous riverfront park. And so currently we're working on what was the Governor Nichols Wharf Warehouse. And that location is becoming about 6.3 acres of new park space that's going to create a continuous riverfront access point all the way from like Spanish Plaza down at Canal Street to Poland Avenue at the back of the Bywater.
That's a big thing.
It is a really big thing. You know, it's going to be one of the longest contiguous riverfront parks in the nation, over 2.25 miles. We're really excited to open it up.
So tell me what happened with the expansion or changes or what's thinking you guys are thinking about holding off on. Tell me where we stand on all of that.
Well, so where we stand is the piece of property that we're developing into park space was originally two different wharf warehouses. So it was the Governor Nichols Wharf and the Esplanade Wharf.
Tell me if you can, Jackson, for people that are driving around that can, in their mind, picture it. We're talking about near what streets?
Sure, yeah. If you're kind of coming down Esplanade towards the river, right where you come through the flood wall, that's right at the intersection between the Governor Nichols Wharf on your right-hand side and the Esplanade Wharf on your left-hand side.
Gotcha.
And so what's happening right now is we're redeveloping the Governor Nichols side of that wharf space. And so this is about, like I said, 6.3 acres, and it's going to be a series of lawns. It's going to have trees, a playground, a little shed. It's a really beautiful park space that's going to connect from the Moonwalk, and then you'll take a riverfront promenade all the way in front of the Esplanade building to Crescent Park. And so phase two will be the redevelopment of the Esplanade warehouse. We just haven't gotten to those plans yet.
So you would be able to go from like Woldenburg Park all the way to Crescent Park, right? When this is all done?
That's right. Yeah, absolutely. So you'll just kind of walk along the riverfront the entire way, and we're planting trees. So you'll have this shaded promenade that connects the entire way.
So is the project proceeding as planned or not?
It is proceeding as planned. You know, it took a long time of development. This project started in maybe 2018, 2019, and real development got delayed a little bit on account of COVID. But after that, we picked it back up. We made a plan. We've got, you know, all the funds were raised, and we are under construction. We're on schedule and on budget, and we're really excited to open the park in the spring.
So is there a distinction between phase one and phase two?
There is a distinction between the two phases. So one, like I said, is the Governor Nichols side, and then phase two will be Esplanade.
So what's going on with phase two?
Well, so phase two, you know, our primary focus is on getting the first phase at the Governor Nichols Wharf completed and ready to open in the spring. And as we're wrapping up that phase, we're certainly hearing from folks that are extremely excited to start talking about the possibilities for the next phase. And we are too. There's some really exciting ideas out there. There is a lot on the table, but we also have a lot of work to do before anything becomes concrete. There's, you know, community engagement and fundraising and planning and permitting and, you know, all of that process that has to go on before before anything happens at the Esplanade site.
So what is it going to look like in phase one? What, as people go out there to enjoy phase one, what's it going to look like? What are they going to find?
Yeah, let's take kind of like a little radio tour through it.
As you walk through
the flood wall at the end of Esplanade, you're walking towards the river, you kind of walk up a slight ramp. And as you get there, what you used to be confronted with was a large corrugated metal warehouse building. And we've removed about 80% of that. And so now you walk up past the loading dock and you're going to just be faced with the most beautiful view of the Mississippi River you can get from anywhere in the city. I mean, you can watch the sun rise to your left and the sun set to your right, and it's just incredible. So you walk up, there's a series of lawns to your right-hand side. One of the things that we knew when developing this park was that we needed to offer a lot of shade. You know, any park wants a lot of shade. In New Orleans, we want even more shade. So we raised the lawns about 4 feet so that we could give room to plant some really beautiful trees along the promenade, give those root systems a lot of room to really develop. So you walk over these series of elevated lawns. I think we've planted over 120 trees out there. Mm-hmm. The first lawn has some hammock posts where you can bring your own hammock and sit out and enjoy the river and your hammock. As you go back towards downtown, there's a Playgrove, which has a marsh-themed playground with a speckled trout that kids can kind of climb through and over. There's an American alligator and a red-eared slider turtle that they can climb on. It's really fun. There's sort of built-in shade structures and seating for families to sit around and enjoy. And then as you continue to walk down towards downtown, you get to a larger open lawn and what we're currently calling the cultural shed, which is the remaining piece of the warehouse building. Mm-hmm. And that space has, you know, sort of like picnic table seating, I would say, throughout. Mm-hmm. A small stage that could support like a jazz trio or something in the evenings. It's got a small kitchen on the backside that can provide concessions. It's a really beautiful place for someone to be able to grab a snack and kind of sit out and watch the river. And then as you continue to go, there's kind of a planted plaza with a misting pad and some really lush, beautiful plantings. Overhead catenary lights that kind of create this romantic glow. And this is the corner of the wharf that really juts right out into the crescent. So you just feel like you're really out in the middle of the Mississippi River, catching the breeze and enjoying the connection.
That's awesome. Let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back. 7:21 traffic now, WWL. 7:27, couple of minutes left. Tommy Tucker, WWL, with Jackson Kirby, Vice President of Construction for Audubon, talking about the phase one and phase two of the riverfront development. Jackson, is one thing to build it, but any of us that have homes realize, you know, well, that sounds nice, a gazebo or a patio or whatever, but you got to maintain it. What about maintaining all of these things? Is the money there? Is the budget there? Whose responsibility is it to maintain it? And how important is that when you go about thinking of developing something like this?
Yeah, you're right. That is hugely important. And one of our project goals was to create a park with economic sustainability in mind and understanding that we do have to pay for operations and people expect this to be a world-class park. And that doesn't come with a small price tag. So we've built in opportunities. You know, we have a food and beverage opportunity out at the cultural shed. We will rent out some spaces for events. And, you know, we understand that there has to be some revenue driven, and we have accounted for operating costs for the first few years as we kind of get that program developed and get on our feet.
This is a huge leap of faith, because basically what you're saying is if we build it, they will come, right?
You know, I think they've already come. You know, The downtown riverfront is already just such an exciting place. And I think people are there. They just need this connection that lets them really traverse the entire space.
What about public input? And if somebody has ideas, or especially as it relates to phase two, tell me how.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
About community involvement with this.
Sure, yeah. We start all of our projects with a community engagement process where we reach out to the community, find out what their needs are. You know, that's one of the things that really shaped phase one of this project. We heard from the community that they were really looking for passive space to go enjoy the river. You know, they didn't want Ferris wheels and really overly active spaces. So this was kind of a response to that. And so we'll do a similar process once we get into planning for phase two, and we'll be looking for public comment on all of the ideas. We want everyone's best idea to bring into play out there.
I don't live there, but I disagree with the Ferris wheel. I think it would make for an awesome visual shot of the city with the lit up Crescent City connection, and like they have in different areas of the country, the giant, and the world, the giant Ferris wheels.
Sure, a lot of great cities have them.
Yeah, but a lot of people don't, but I would agree for it. Thank you, Jackson. I appreciate your time. I really do. Jackson Kirby, Vice President of Construction for Audubon. When we come back, we'll talk with Amy McCarron, newly elected council member for District A, and we'll also talk about a Scrabble tournament. So a lot coming up. Stay with us right now. Time for WWL First News. For that, we go to Ian Ozan here on the Big 870 WWL. 7:37, 23 till 8. There's a Scrabble tournament going on in Metairie. A fully rated 7-game North American Scrabble Players Association tournament. And we are joined now by Lindsay Crotty, organizing director, to talk about it. How you doing, Lindsay?
Good. How are you? Thanks for having me.
You know what I found dating? I find when people say, well, what do you want to do when I go on a first date? What I want to do is play Scrabble, because I think, no, honestly, because you can find out so much about somebody just by sitting there playing, not only their choice of words and their strategy when it comes to the game, but just talking to them. You know what I'm saying? I think I love Scrabble. Tell me about the tournament.
Yeah, we are having a tournament at the East Bank Regional Library this weekend. It's relatively small, but we have two really good divisions. We're going to do a 7-game round robin. We'll be there from 9 to 5. We will also have a kids division. We're excited that, you know, the next generation is also excited to learn about, you know, one of our favorite games. It's really helping them to not only expand their vocabulary, but, you know, practice their math skills and good competition. And they also play in teams, so they're learning some teamwork as well. We are also open. We have a division for newcomers. So anyone, even if you have, you know, you're scared about using a clock, or you're scared about a real tournament rated, you know, Scrabble tournament, then we have a newcomers division that we want everyone to get a feel for what it is, and something that is unrated and untimed and very friendly. So we have a little bit of everything for everyone.
It's open to everybody. You don't have to re-qualify or anything.
Exactly. We will have a newcomers division for anyone who has not experienced the Scrabble tournament before. And if you have, we have that too, and we're happy to open it to everyone.
Will you have to pass through a letter detector when you walk in to make sure you're not bringing in your own letters?
Not this weekend, no.
Okay. And everything will be furnished? All the kids got to do, or people got to do, is show up?
Just show up. I think we will have enough boards, and our local members have boards that they are bringing. And we have letters, and the library is providing extra boards and letters as well. And we will have drinks and happy to host everybody.
Do you have any referees there, or will the dictionary be the ultimate guide?
So yeah, we have, I am technically the director. So if there are any, you know, breakout fights or arguments, I'm there to settle it using the rule book. Mm-hmm. We do have computers set up around the room so that if there is a word that is challenged, both players can go to the computer together and check it on an electronic dictionary.
What kind of player are you?
I am so good that I direct.
Okay.
Right.
Tell
if
the
I'm
truth.
Not going to win, I'm going to direct.
Tell the truth, really. Are you a good player or not?
I'm a pretty good player. I think I can be, you know, 99% of kitchen, you know, casual players. Mm-hmm. When we play in tournaments, we do have a rating, an ELO rating that follows us, just like chess. The ratings go from 0 to about 2,200. I'm rated about 1,500. My husband is rated 2,100. Wow. And my daughter is rated about 1,200. So, you know, it's all in the family, and there's a level for everybody. And you're always competing against, in the tournaments, you're competing against people of your same level.
Have you ever, when somebody put down an I over an S for is, rolled your eyes and said, really?
Not at all. Sometimes it's the right play to play.
Okay. Tell me how people find out more about the tournament.
Please check out NOLAScrabble.com. This will have some information for newcomers. It will also show you another tournament that we are having over Martin Luther King weekend in town, which is really popular, the Crescent City Cup. So we would love to have more players there as well.
Thank you. Appreciate your time. Lindsay Crotty, organizer, director of the Scrabble Tournament, 7:42, 18 till 8. We'll talk to Amy McCarron, council member-elect for District A, when we come back here on WWL. 7:47, 13 till 8, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Quickly to Amy McCarron, council member-elect for District A. Good morning, Ms. McCarron. How are you? And congratulations on your victory.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
And a fellow UNO alum, tell me, when you were going to Ursuline, did you ever think that you would become a city council member or not? What did you want to be when you were a kid?
No, when I was a kid, I thought I was going to be in musical theater. I went to NOCA for that. Mm-hmm. No, I had no idea. And then I worked in restaurants for a really long time before getting into financial advising. So, yeah, it's been a long journey, but this is, you know, I feel most at home in public service. So I'm really, really excited to serve the residents.
Having had a kid that went to Ursuline and was in theater, what was your leading role? Do you remember some of the roles you played?
Yes, my leading role was actually, it wasn't at Ursuline, but it was at St. Luke's Methodist Church in Lakeview. I was Peter Pan my senior year, so that was my starring role.
Been to the shows there, done that, I guarantee you. Let's talk about a budget geek, a self-proclaimed budget geek. How'd you become a budget geek, and how important is that as you look forward to assuming the duties of council member for District A?
So I have over a decade of financial experience. I was a financial advisor before I started working with Joe, which is why he approached me about coming to help him run the budget committee. So it's really important, obviously, going forward, because we are in a budget mess. I've already started getting briefings on what's going on and what's happening for this year's budget and what's happening for next year's budget. And it's vitally important that we have somebody that has that financial background to go on the council and help out and see how we can move through this mess over the next few years.
What do you think is going to be the biggest challenge as you get ready to assume the role? I hate to say role because it's not an act, but you know what I'm saying.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, look, the biggest challenge is that we are going to have to make some very tough decisions on how we move forward with funding different departments. You know, we've got to get our revenue generating departments. We've got to get them up and running. Like safety and permits is not working right now. And that is a opportunity for us to collect revenue better. So we've got to make sure that they're funded. We've got to make sure that we are not losing basic services for residents, that we're getting their streetlights fixed still. We're getting the street work done. I mean, we've got a lot of tough choices. But I think, you know, with a united council and administration, I feel very good about going forward that we are going to be able to do that without having to put stress on the residents.
Joe's a friend. Did he ever warn you about what you're about to get into or not?
Of course. Yeah, he did. He did. You know, he was a mentor and a friend. And he's like, you know, this is crazy. We had a conversation yesterday and, you know, we were just talking through the budget stuff. And he's like, this is going to be tough. But he knows that I'm up for the challenge. You know, he and I were both past presidents of the Young Leadership Council. And I think that's kind of where that mentorship and friendship came from. And he's, you know, he knows I'm the right person for it. So.
All right, let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back talking to Amy McCarron, council member elect for District A. It seems like a no-nonsense council member, and that's what we need right now. 10 till 8, traffic, WWL. 7:57, Tommy Tucker, WWL. A couple of minutes left with Amy McCarron, council member elect for District A. I'm asking people, Amy, where the most persistent or permanent pothole is, a problematic pothole is in the city. Do you have any nominees?
We have a lot of nominees in District A. I know Uptown, we've got a couple sinkholes. I know Lakeview has been struggling. Holly Grove has some bad ones. I mean, it is all over the place, really, Tommy.
I think we should have gone by neighborhood instead of by potholes now that I think about it. So you've been involved with Joe for his tenure. You know where the skeletons are buried. What is, when it comes to the cutbacks that are needed, what is it likely to look like for your fellow citizens of New Orleans next year in 2026?
Well, look, I know that Joe and Mayor-elect Moreno have been working hard with the current administration on figuring out how that looks. I mean, we are trying
Hang on. You've been working on that as well. Now, come on.
I have been working on it as well. I had a long conversation yesterday. Look, we are trying to avoid cutting basic services, but we also have to look at, and this is something I talked about on the campaign trail a lot, there are certain things where we are, like, for example, our electricians, we just have two electricians that work for City Hall. So we're spending a lot of money on outside contracts for that kind of thing. And those are some creative ways that we can use the budget by lowering those costs to the city by having in-house workforce to do those things. And then it makes residents, it gets things done faster, and we're using the budget more wisely. So there's going to be some things, there's going to be cuts, of course, in departments, but there are also some creative ways that I think we really need to look at in every department on how we are looking at outside contracts versus inside employees.
If after 4 years you decide to run again, what will you be saying? What will you hope you'll be able to say is your biggest accomplishment?
Well, what I hope is that we've gotten out of this budget deficit, and that we are really working towards getting our streets fixed and providing the basic services for residents, and we're keeping people here.
My advice to you would be to spend as much time with your husband as you can and your kids as you can before you're sworn in.
Yes, agreed. I'm working hard to do that.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your time. We'll talk to you, I know, I'm sure, throughout your tenure. Amy
yes,
McCarron, you bet, council member elect for District A. We'll take a break. We come back, got a big hour for you. We're talking to Ronald Surpass, take a deep dive into crime, talk about borders, patrol, and customs. And they're coming into the New Orleans area. We'll talk with Justin Kennedy from Parkway. Today's Wednesday. And then we'll talk to Dane Cialino about AI and the law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.